From NPR News in Washington, I'm Craig Windham. U.S. and allied forces are intensifying their attacks on Libya's military with warplanes and cruise missiles striking command and control facilities, as well as a column of Libyan tanks headed for the rebel stronghold of Benghazi, even one of Gaddafi's residential compounds. Defense Secretary Robert Gates says the U.N.-sanctioned offensive is going well so far. He says while the U.S. is taking a lead role in this early phase, that will be changing.
These naval and air assets that we can bring to bear have clearly played an important role here at the front end, and we will continue to play a role, but we will be one of a number of partners beginning, I hope, in a few days.
Gates speaking to reporters en route to Russia. The BBC's Alan Little has the latest from Libya's capital.
Two Allied raids on Tripoli provoked heavy barrages of anti-aircraft fire aimed at missiles and aircraft that we in the city could neither see nor hear. Several loud explosions rocked the city, including one at Colonel Gaddafi's own residential compound. The compound had filled up with enthusiastic admirers of Colonel Gaddafi only the previous day, civilians who said they were ready to die with him if necessary. The removal of Colonel Gaddafi is not a stated aim of the UN Security Council resolution, and it's not known where the Libyan leader was at the time.
The BBC's Alan Little reporting from Tripoli. A plume of gray smoke rising from the crippled nuclear power complex in Japan has prompted authorities to withdraw safety workers again from that facility. NPR's Christopher Joyce in Tokyo says there's concern about the pool used to store spent nuclear fuel rods at one of the reactors.
That reactor has been the most problematic recently. Workers have been spraying tons of water from fire hoses into a pool holding spent nuclear fuel at the unit. The day before, pressure spiked in that unit but fell back down on its own. The evacuation at the unit is a setback at a time when workers had made progress restoring electric power to two reactors in the complex and getting more water into the used fuel pools. They've also been able to hold down radiation levels at the plant so workers can spend more time there. Christopher Joyce, NPR News, Tokyo.
Japan's Chief Cabinet Secretary Yukio Edeno says shipments of milk from farms close to the facility are being banned, as are shipments of spinach from a wider area around the nuclear plant. Edeno speaking through an interpreter.
There is a very small probability that it will harm human health. That is the view of the experts. Therefore, I would like to ask you to behave and act calmly.
Oil markets aren't reacting calmly to the conflict in Libya. Crude oil prices surging to nearly $103 a barrel today in afternoon electronic trading in Asia on the New York Mercantile Exchange. Gasoline prices have jumped an additional 7 cents a gallon over the past 2 weeks. This is NPR News. AT&T has announced a deal to buy T-Mobile in a deal valued at about $39 billion. The combined company would be the nation's largest cell phone service provider, but the deal must first be approved by regulators. Critics are complaining the consolidation would lead to higher prices for consumers. Advocates say the combination should provide better coverage for customers of both AT&T and T-Mobile. Investigators in Iraq are looking into a series of attacks over the weekend that left 9 people dead. NPR's Mike Schuster says most of the violence occurred in Baghdad.
In the morning, it was explosions. 2 roadside bombs in central Baghdad killing 1 person and another 3 mortar rounds hitting an eastern neighborhood of Baghdad. In the afternoon, it was shootings. In 4 separate incidents, gunmen opened fire on individuals and automobiles. 1 official from the Iraqi oil ministry was killed, and in a separate attack, a high-ranking Iraqi army officer was wounded. Then in the evening, in a village north of Baghdad, a suicide bomb attack. The leader of a Sunni militia opposed to al-Qaeda was killed, along with 5 members of his family. The level of violence in Iraq has diminished considerably in the past year, but attacks like these still occur on a regular basis. Mike Schuster, NPR News, Baghdad.
2 new reports conclude that children should ride in rear-facing car seats until they're 2 years old, not just 1. Jennifer Hoekstra is with the Safe Kids program.
Kids are 5 times safer facing the back of the car than they are the front of the car. So by extending this rear-facing another year and longer pounds and longer inches, we are giving our kids a much better chance to survive any crash.
Hoekstra says kids who've outgrown front-facing car seats should ride in booster seats until the lap shoulder belt fits them. I'm Craig Windham, NPR News.